Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning comes from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Jesus, who has made us to be a people holy before our Heavenly Father, dear fellow redeemed. The word pure is defined as not being mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material, free of any contamination. So how applicable is the subject of purity nowadays? Is it as important as it may have been, say, 30, 40 years ago? Well, the answer is yes and no. Yes, purity is still important and it's emphasized in society today. But it doesn't carry the same definition that we see above. Society views purity more as an ethical behavior, your integrity, a focus on positive intentions and actions, avoid harmful or immoral conduct. Do you notice a difference between the two definitions? Rather than purity meaning something that is uncontaminated, unadulterated, it has taken on more of a guideline in interacting with people around you. As long as your intentions are right and you don't bring harm to anyone else, you can still be considered pure. But this really broadens the meaning of the word, doesn't it? Purity no longer is an absolute standard. If a goldsmith stopped caring about the absolute purity of his product, well, the gold would be worth substantially less than 24 karat. What kind of purity is the psalmist talking about? Well, it's a kind that the Lord demands of his people in Leviticus 19, verse 2, when he says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." The Lord doesn't leave room for any error. He demands absolute holiness and perfection without any impurities or contamination. It's a stark contrast from what the world demands, isn't it? And it's easy to fit in with the world's sense of purity. You can listen to whatever music you like as long as you don't go out in the streets and start cursing people. You can watch whatever you want on TV as long as it doesn't lead to you harming another person or your family or walking out on your spouse. In fact, as long as you are happy, the world doesn't seem to care how pure it is at all. It's good enough in their eyes. Imagine if that's how God worked. As long as you don't bring harm to other people and as long as you are happy, that is good enough for Him. What kind of world would we be living in? The exact world that we're living in right now. The one that promotes and demands acceptance of sinful ideologies and shuns those who speak against it as revolting scum. This is a world that has rejected the Word of God, rejected His standard, and rather has embraced the depravities of sinful human nature. But God holds you, me, and all people to a much higher standard. Imagine if you went to the doctor's office today for a routine checkup. The doctor comes in the room and he says, "You got a clean bill of health, but we found one cancer cell. Your body might be healthy everywhere else, but that one cancer cell is enough that could bring death. You might live a pure life according to the world, or even amongst your peers at church. Outside eyes see a clean bill of health, but the Lord sees that cancer cell that kills you. He sees the sin that abides in your heart and mind, that though they may not make it to the surface, still contaminate you as an impure sinner. Think of the great heroes of faith in the Bible. Was King David able to keep his way pure? No. He entered into sin with Bathsheba, which led to more sin and more sin. What about King Josiah, who led a reformation in Judah? Well, even he, at the end of his life, put his trust in the nation of Egypt rather than trusting in the Lord to give him victory in battle. And it cost him his life. The psalmist speaks of God's rules or God's judgments in this psalm. What are God's judgments? Well, his judgments show just how impossible it is for us to remain pure according to God's standard. The wages of sin is death. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. For God will bring every deed to judgment. With every secret thing, whether good or evil, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. It doesn't matter whether you have strayed from the Lord physically, mentally, or morally. Sin is sin. And that sin labels us all impure. Now there's a temptation that comes from hearing this law, isn't there? If it is impossible for us to remain pure, then why even bother opening the Bible in the first place? And it's natural to think that. Why would I read something if it's only going to tell me how bad I am, how much wrong I've done? Because you're missing the entire point of the law. The law of the Lord was never meant to be the source of your pure life. It shreds any notion of that being a possibility. Rather, the law, God's condemnation over your sin, is meant to open the door for God's solution. And if we never open the pages of the Bible, we will never find that solution. I remember in confirmation class, my dad always telling us, he would ask, "What's the most dangerous book in the world?" He'd say, "It's not the Communist Manifesto. It's not Mein Kampf." It's the Bible when it's closed. So then let us open the Word, which according to the psalmist is the means by which we keep our way pure, the means by which we find a solution to our sin problem. Did you notice how many times things are repeated in these 8 verses? 10 times the psalmist refers to the Word of God in different variations: Word, commandment, statutes, rules, testimonies, precepts, your ways. 12 times the psalmist references God using the words you or your word, your commandments, your statutes. This shows that the actions in this psalm are not ours, but the Lord working in us. He is the one working to keep our life pure according to His Word. And Psalm 119, verse 124 says, "Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes." God's steadfast love, His grace, is His greatest statute. God's decree that will never have an end. His declaration for all time is that His love covers all of your sin. Over and over again, God wants you to look in His Word to see what He has done for you, what He is doing for you right now, and what He has promised to do for you in the days ahead. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. This verse is saying to hide your life in the Word of God so that no one can find it, so that no one can steal it away from you. Treasure it. Though Satan and the world will scrape and claw, they have no power over what is yours in the living Word, your Savior Jesus. John tells us in his first chapter of the Gospel that Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the one who kept His way pure in every facet of His life, even though it led to Him being considered the worst sinner in God's eyes. It led to Him suffering on the cross for the sin of the world and enduring the punishment of eternity in hell. He never once diverted from God's command to be holy. And He did that in order to secure your eternal life in heaven. Keep it secure in Jesus. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Though this verse really does seem like it's our action coming to the Lord, James tells us what the psalmist means here when he writes, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." There is no relationship to be had with God when you are double-minded. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. So here the psalmist urges us to forsake any other hope or confidence and humbly rely on the God who sent His Son Jesus to die in your place. Rather than trusting in our own hearts, where should our hearts be? In the one thing that can make your heart pure and avoid sin. That which Jesus says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. These verses are talking about more than just God's law. Yes, his law guides our lives and how we should live as children of God. But these words also remind us how we became God's children in the first place. Earlier, we talked about God's judgments being his condemnation over our sin. But God's judgments are twofold. They also shower us with his grace. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember how David and Josiah were not able to keep their way pure? Yet because of these promises of God through Jesus, they were pure in the eyes of God. And so are you. Though you stumble and fall, God's forgiveness falls on you because of your Savior Jesus. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Elon Musk is worth $394 billion. Mark Zuckerberg worth $254 billion. Jeff Bezos, $241 billion. Each of these men have accumulated an unimaginable amount of wealth, a number we probably won't see in our lifetime. And yet the psalmist declares that the testimonies of God are worth more to delight in than all the riches of these three men combined, and then some. To put it in perspective, those three men alone are worth nearly 14,000 tons of gold. But the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for payment of your sins and mine, is worth infinitely more. Their money will get you some pretty nice things in this world, but their money cannot open the gates of heaven. Jesus can, and Jesus does for free. Is there any reason then to not meditate on the goodness and mercy of God? Is there any reason to not delight in the revelation of our salvation? Absolutely not. The Word of God is a source of our life, of our delight. We get to see how God has acted faithfully and graciously to his people, forgiving them for countless sins so that they might be pure in his eyes. And the Lord, your God, has done the same for you. He has forgiven you your sins so that you right now are pure in his eyes. How can anyone keep their way pure? It isn't just by reading your Bible every day. You could do that and still be impure. It is by your life being secured in the message of the Bible. It is your life being guarded by your Savior Jesus and his pureness. He offers you his pure, uncontaminated life, free of charge. And he reminds you of this comfort in his word. Certainly with the psalmist, we will continuously sing, "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Amen. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.